This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. As usual, I have a great guest. And tonight, I have a guest. Her name is Cecile Wieland. I know her through the organization Toastmasters, and she is the Vice President of Education for Toastmasters. And I just enjoy interviewing people from this club. I've interviewed a couple of people so far, and I'm really so pleased to have you on, Cecile.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So tell the audience a little bit about your position at Toastmasters first.
So my position at Toastmasters, at Peekskill Toastmasters specifically, is Vice President of Education. And my job is to make sure that we reach our education goals. And that usually means that we each have a pathway that we're following at Toastmasters, and a certain number of Toastmasters members have to complete levels at pathways during the year, and I help them reach their education goals. And at the same time, I've also set up a mentorship program, and I try to match up mentors and mentees who appear to have similar interests and similar goals in terms of their skills.
Yeah, I can attest to the fact that the whole, I'd say I call it the vernacular of leadership at Toastmasters, it's something that I found I could fall right into. And I think it's upstanding. I think it's outstanding to do something like that. You know, you're not really doing this as like your regular job. Your regular job is also very interesting, where I'll just tell the audience, Cecile works for Discovery Channel, and specifically for the Travel Network. And she has a really interesting job there. She told me about it, but I'm going to let her tell you about it. It's cool.
Well, yes, I feel very, very lucky to have this job. For 25 years, I was a freelancer producing long-form nonfiction television in all genres. And then in October of 2019, I joined the Discovery family. And I'm currently responsible for overseeing and crafting the production of premium documentaries and series. And they feature the paranormal and the unexplained. And my official title is executive producer. And it's all creative. I basically start working with a production company who has pitched an idea for a show, let's say, about ghosts or UFOs, and I start working with them right in the beginning to craft what the documentary will look like, and I oversee them as they go through production, actually filming and interviewing people, and then post-production where they put the documentary together in the edit room. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's an amazing job because it's very creative and fun, and you get to tell stories.
Yeah, it sounds really fun. I would love a job like that someday. Anyway, when I grow up. Anyway, I wanted to say that I know that the channels that you're working on, the network that you're working on is very, very popular. What are your most popular shows that you produce?
Well, one of the most popular shows that I oversee the production of, and we actually produce maybe 40 hours of this show a year, is called Paranormal Caught on Camera.
Wow.
And Paranormal Caught on Camera, we're in our fifth season. And basically, we collect video clips from around the world of people who have had paranormal or unexplained sightings. Maybe they've seen a UFO, or maybe a cryptid like Bigfoot in their backyard, or maybe they've had a paranormal experience. And we interview them on Skype and show their clip, And then we have a bunch of experts who comment on the clip and whether or not why they think it's authentic or not.
Wow, that's good, because a lot of people think it's everything is staged. In your job, have you found that most of the clips that people send in, most of the claims that they're making in terms of seeing these paranormal things are true? Are most of them true, or most of them kind of end up not being true? Like, what's been your experience?
My experience is that they're definitely unexplained.
Okay.
And the majority, if not all of our clips, we only show them if we believe that they are authentic. Like, if they've actually come out to be faked, or then we wouldn't feature them. We only feature clips that we can't explain.
That's good to know. You know, as a viewer, I think that's good to know, because sometimes you'll turn on the TV and you'll see there are shows like that. There are all kinds of shows like that. And some of them are obviously not true and some aren't. So you have experts, I imagine, that go in that can authenticate a space that is allegedly haunted, correct?
That's correct.
And what kind of experts?
I also oversee, in addition to Paranormal Caught on Camera, I oversee a whole series of documentaries called Shock Docs. And they're 2-hour documentaries. And for one of them, called Shock Doc Ed Gein, The Real Psycho. So Ed Gein, as you may know, he wasn't necessarily a serial killer, but he was definitely a psycho. And the movie Psycho, Silence of the Lambs, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre were in part kind of based on him.
One person?
Yeah, this guy, Ed Gein, who lived in Plainfield, Wisconsin in the 50s and grew up with mostly his mom, because his brother and his father had passed away when he was younger. And his mom was kind of like this very obsessional, hyper-religious woman who traumatized her son growing up, and he became this killer. And he would, like in Silence of the Lambs, basically fashion these suits out of women's skin. I mean, it's horrifying.
Yeah.
So what we did was we went to Plainfield, Wisconsin with two of our top paranormal investigators. Steve Shippey is a paranormal investigator who has all this amazing gear. He has a ghost box. He can talk to ghosts through it. He has an SLS camera that picks up stick figures if there is an anomaly that walks in the room. And then we have Cindy Kaza, who is a psychic medium, and she is probably one of the, if not the top psychic medium in the world. I mean, she's incredible. She also happens to be just absolutely gorgeous to boot. And so we brought these two investigators to Plainfield, Wisconsin to find out, is Ed Gein still haunting the town? And you can see it on Discovery Plus, Ed Gein, The Real Psycho. We collected the most unbelievable amount of evidence.
Wow.
That Ed Gein, I mean, it's crazy. It's just insane. And by the way, nothing, absolutely nothing was faked. So basically, we went to Ed Gein's property where he had a home. The home burned down, but the property still exists. And actually, the owners, it's the first time they've let anyone investigate the property. And immediately, when Cindy Kaza stepped foot on the property with Steve Shippey,
yeah,
she felt this presence. And it was an evil presence. And she could actually, she can hear ghosts, kind of, they speak to her. And she also does automatic writing, where all of a sudden, we'll give her a piece of paper and a Sharpie, and she'll just basically channel whatever the ghost is saying. And she came in contact with Ed Gein's mother, who was still tormenting him in death.
Wow. So she's the evil, she turned out to be the evil entity and not Ed?
Well, we also made contact with Ed.
Okay.
So some unbelievable things that happened. For example, we went to the cemetery where, believe it or not, Ed is buried next to his mother and next to a victim.
What?
All in the same cemetery.
What?
Right? How can that place not be haunted?
Oh my goodness gracious. Well, you know, whatever floats your boat. I don't know. It sounds very, very, it sounds remarkable. That's what I'll say. I imagine, you know, there are people that believe that you have to protect yourself from the evil spirits. Do you feel confident of that, that you're protected against it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wasn't there personally, but the showrunner, who's a good friend of mine, Katie Barry, who was there with Cindy and Steve. Cindy, there's a whole bunch of different rituals that she has to undergo to protect herself as a psychic medium. And the crew, she also has to be careful to protect the crew. And she will warn everyone if she thinks they're in danger of bringing something home with them.
Yeah, that I've heard that this can happen. Explain to the audience what you mean about bringing something home with you. Because I don't think people know, I don't think everybody understands that. I understand it, but can you articulate it?
Well, I guess the best example I can give is you have to shut the door. If you open the door, you can't leave it open.
Right.
So when you're playing, which is highly recommended to never play with the Ouija board.
I agree.
Or the spirit board.
Right, I agree.
At the end, if you have a session, you have to say goodbye. You have to close the door because you can let in malevolent spirits or even a demon. And so there are ways to, you have to basically have closure at whatever paranormal investigation scene you're investigating.
So there is a specific protocol for protection. That's good to know. Because it sounds very, very, very scary to me. Very scary.
Yes.
Have you ever felt that presence? I mean, have you had personal experience just dealing with it? Because there are people that don't even like to deal with this stuff because they realize that if you leave the door open a little bit, you know, it might be too much. Have you ever had a personal experience? Because this is your livelihood. I'm not going to try to wish it on you. I always wish you the most protection, you know, Cecile. But it's really quite fascinating. I think you're very, very brave because it's kind of scary. Are there ever, like UFOs and all that stuff? It can be a little scary.
Well, interestingly enough, before I worked in paranormal, I was a true crime producer. So I've produced many true crime documentaries for ID, Investigation Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel as if I'm more afraid of what's in this world than the other world.
Oh, interesting. It's funny. I've heard my grandmother.
So many crime stories.
Yeah, that's true. My grandmother always said, you don't have to be afraid of something that's passed on. You got to be afraid of the person that you're walking down the street next to in the flesh, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that kind of stuff. So how did you initially get started in this field? You mentioned being a true crimes writer.
Well, basically, I've had very adventurous parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of always let me explore my creativity during the summers, a lot of reading and not much a lot of being bored when I was young.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Reading and exploring and traveling. And so my undergraduate degree is actually in French literature. So again, just reading a lot of stories. And then I realized that I had this special desire I love interviewing people.
Okay.
So it's funny that you're interviewing me.
I know, it's kind of funny, isn't it?
I'm usually in the interviewing spot.
I know, it's harder to be in the hot seat. That I can attest to.
Right. And so I went to journalism school. I have a master's degree in broadcast journalism. And I was going to be an on-air reporter. And then I fell into documentaries. I discovered documentaries. I was like, wow, this is so cool. Because it takes 3 to 6 months to make a film. You get to travel around the country, sometimes around the world. The topic is different every time. And it kind of fed my adventurous spirit and my desire to kind of go out there and put myself in all these like crazy adventures where I just meet all these random people. And I mean, working in true crime, you find yourself in some really crazy, unusual places, and you're a bunch of like 26, 27-year-olds running around, you know, in the Midwest somewhere, interviewing police and investigators of a crime. It's just, it's kind of a whole little world on its in its own.
Yeah, no, it sounds like, it sounds really exciting to me. It sounds very exciting. So what do you aspire to? Do you have like plans? You have two positions actually, now that you've explained why you're, what your plans are as being vice president of education for Toastmasters. And I'm glad, I mean, it's really an honor to serve with you on that. But do you have aspirations in terms of producing these fantastic documentaries? I'm very fascinated by what you do.
Well, I just, right now, if I can just continue doing what I'm doing right now for my job for the rest of my life, I would be happy. Like, I don't feel like I was just thinking the other day, do I want to get promoted and be like something? I just love what I do right now. Every single day is a pleasure. Like, right now, I'm working on two documentaries. They're each 2 hours long documentaries on alien abductions.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
People who have been abducted by aliens. And no one's really done a documentary about this topic in depth before. So I feel like I'm entering uncharted territory. And we have a lot of really exciting films to make in the paranormal unexplained space. It's not just ghost hunting anymore. There's a lot more to it.
I think also that you live in the Hudson Valley of New York, which is old, old and full of rich history. And people have had sightings that I know have had all kinds of sightings in this area.
It is definitely a hotbed of activity.
Yes, exactly. You know, so I guess you're in the right spot for what you do.
That's right. I'm surrounded by it.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff going on. I just have a question. I just want to ask this question based on, you know, your knowledge and your experience in the field and working with different people. What do you think about old buildings and the kind of energy that is contained in them, you know, when the building is no longer there? Like it might knock the building down.
Oh, whether or not residual energy can remain on the property?
Yeah, and does it stir up other energy?
Definitely, that's what happened with the Ed Gein property. I mean, the house is no longer there. And a lot of times, I know it's kind of a trope and we hear it all the time, but the old Native American burial ground.
Yes.
And there are so many instances where there have been either a burial ground, their bodies, or bad things that have happened in a spot place for many, many years. And there are different kinds of hauntings. You know, there's a residual haunting, which is where the haunting kind of hangs around and the same thing kind of happens over and over again. And then there's something called an intelligent haunting, where something is actually controlling the haunting.
Oh.
Yeah. I definitely believe that, you know, we are energy and energy just transforms into other energy. It never disappears, right? It just transforms into something else.
Yeah.
So I definitely believe there's that could be possible with old buildings.
Yeah, I just think because I know that in the Hudson Valley, there are lovely, lovely cities in the Hudson Valley. We're actually broadcasting from Peekskill, New York, which is a very historical old city in the New York metropolitan area, but specifically in the Hudson Valley. And there are many other wonderful towns and cities going up this Hudson River. And you just feel that the energy is old. You can kind of feel a presence. You know, say if you have a pet, an animal, you know, many people can maybe relate to this when your animal suddenly looks up and is barking at something you can't see. I had an animal like that, you know, and she'll just be barking at it, at something she can't see.
Absolutely.
And you're wondering, wow, what is that all about? This is interesting. I would love to have you back on to talk more about this subject for sure. I think that there's a lot going on. I know that there's a cemetery. I'm going to mention this to you. You may or may not know about it. There's a cemetery in Austin, or it might be Cortland Mat, or I'm not sure where it actually is, where the line is, where the archdiocese still owns that little piece of property, although most of it was sold off to a real estate developer, but they kept the cemetery in that whole area. It's a condominium complex. And I used to have a dog. She passed away. I would walk her around there because I lived around there. And I'd open the gate and let her go in the cemetery and kind of run around. And she'd dash in and out of the tombstones, which I thought was adorable. But on one side of the cemetery, she used to hang around there all the time. And it was almost as if there was someone there and she's playing with this person. And it was peculiar to watch her. There is some video of her doing this somewhere. I have to find it. And then someone told me that there were children buried on that side of the cemetery. And I'm like, oh, you know, and there's an angel statue to the children there. But I just think, I'm wondering, and I believe this, but I wonder if it's true that our pets, animals, have a very strong connection, that they could perhaps see things that we can't see or feel things that we can't feel.
Well, absolutely. I believe in that, because in Paranormal Caught on Camera, these clips that we get from people around the world, there have been many instances where they have cameras in the home while they're gone, like the homeowner's gone, and you can see the pets reacting to things and growling at things that are not there. So I've definitely seen it firsthand in these clips.
Really?
Secondhand.
So you've seen them secondhand in the clips, and you can actually look at them. I imagine at this point, you can tell that it's authentic.
Yes. We have a lot of clips too, where someone will be walking their dog and you'll have a camera on, you know, the outside of the house. And suddenly you'll see what looked like another dog, kind of like a ghost dog, following behind them.
Yeah. Wow.
We've seen that a lot, where these dogs that have passed away will still be walking the same trail every day.
That's very interesting. Yeah. I know that I lived up in the complex, and I can remember walking my dog, you know, and been walking. I've a couple of instances. So I know now that I really am not crazy. Even a woodland animal, I remember running across my feet. It looked like it was probably like a chipmunk or a groundhog or something running across my feet, small. And also I had one incident where I had a witness, you know, with me, thank goodness, or people would have thought had lost my mind. You know, but I'm glad to know that there are people out there like you, that you treat it as a creative venture, but you treat it as a science as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, I believe that, as a documentarian, it's my job to tell the story as best I can, to really get to the essence of what the story is, and to also explore all the theories that go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
But to also remain neutral, right? I'm not putting my point of view in there. I'm just documenting what others believe.
I think that's important to be able to do. I don't know that everyone could be that way, to be neutral, to be unbiased about the information. Because some people, and I know there are probably plenty of people listening to this show, they just don't believe it because it's not 100% tangible.
Right.
I wonder if you ever get letters after doing these documentaries and people trying to authenticate the documentary, or also the opposite, to sort of like squash what you believe or know might be true.
Oh, yeah, all the time. I mean, we get on social media, the travel channels, Facebook page and Instagram, and we get lots of, but we have rabid fans out there.
I can imagine.
They will follow us anywhere. So yeah, they have these debates online, which is, it's kind of fun.
I can imagine. Yeah, I can imagine. I have to check out, is there a blog that someone could go to? Or are you allowed to, as an employee, to promote that?
Well, the Travel Channel has, we're constantly posting videos and people make comments on them. And so, yeah, it's pretty healthy. It's maintained on a daily basis.
Like, how could someone get on that blog if they want to be part of that? Because this particular show does go global. There are a lot of people that listen to this show. I think this is the first time I've had someone like you on. Well, the second time, actually. I had a Wicca minister on once. That was interesting. So how could someone find like the channel to participate in the discussions?
Well, to participate in the discussions, there's the Facebook group for the Travel Channel. And then we also have an Instagram page. And we also have Twitter. So we're present. So it's basically just Travel Channel.
Travel Channel. Self-explanatory. And I'm wondering also, when you do these kinds of shows, do people approach you with stories? And then you try to authenticate them by sending out your experts. Like if I told you, like, Nessie is in the river, in the Hudson River, right by the whatever, by the gazebo, you would send somebody out there. I'm just playing with you now, but you know, I've heard people talk about Bigfoot being at the Riverfront Green, and I kind of quipped to him and say, yeah, and Nessie is right out there. See him, you know?
Well, we have a production company that is constantly collecting the video clips for Paranormal Caught on Camera. So basically, if you have a video clip or audio that you think is paranormal or unexplained, that can definitely be submitted. But we don't usually go out to investigate because there's so many claims. There's so many stories to do that are authenticated that we only go out there when we think it's a pretty solid story.
It has to be really compelling. And I just have to say this to you, that I have a TV show as well. I'd like to invite you back to talk about this more on Talk with TQ. And one time we were recording someone that deals with what most people would consider paranormal, because he's able to speak that to people that have passed on. And he actually said at one point that somebody in the room of the people that were producing the show, I won't say who, that their mother was in the room.
Wow.
It was a strange thing. You could kind of feel that there was, it wasn't an evil presence by any means, but if you're a little bit sensitive or an empath, you can definitely sense when there's a presence in the room, and you can sense whether it's good or bad. But I do remember having that particular experience, you know, so I would love to have you come on the show that way sometime. It would be really interesting to see if the same thing happens, because the gentleman I was interviewing was someone who was a call bearer, C-A-U-L-B-E-A-R-E-R.
Oh, okay.
You probably know what that is. It's someone that actually speaks to the dead and hears them. People often contact him when somebody in their life has passed on and there were some unresolved issues.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I'll give you his name when we go off. You might be interested in him. Things happen around him. It's interesting to me that people can have the gift so much that they can control it, go into a trance, and then invite the spirit in. And he said, like you said at the beginning, you have to say goodbye to them, but he always have to invite them in. They won't come unless they're invited by the person he's reading. Interesting stuff.
Absolutely. And you were talking about aliens in the Hudson Valley before, and I neglected to mention that we have an all-new shock doc coming out this Sunday, August 15th, on Discovery Plus. That's our streaming service, called Alien Invasion of the Hudson Valley.
Ooh.
And basically, it's an in-depth investigation into the alien invasion of Hudson Valley. We have our experts, Ben Hansen, who is a former federal agent, and he's an expert in all things UFO. So yeah, we have a few experts who basically go around the Hudson Valley. My colleague was the executive producer for this one, so I actually haven't seen it yet, but I'm very excited. Coming out this Sunday.
Oh, great. I'm going to have to see that one. And, you know, I know people in the Hudson Valley who have seen, not me in particular, but who have seen alien spacecraft up close.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. I was teaching a private art lesson with someone who recounted a story that my good friend had told me the same story. They don't even know each other. It's interesting. I could go on and on about this. I'm fascinated by it and frightened at the same time. I really am.
Amazing.
I know, it's like a morbid curiosity. Not morbid, because there's no death involved necessarily. No death involved here. It's all life. But I want to talk to you more about this. And then, you know, also, I'll have you back on because there's so much to talk about and your position as Vice President of Education for Peekskill Toastmasters. And we like to think of ourselves as a really cool group. You know, we have a good time. But anyway, Cecile Wayland, thank you so much for coming on the show. I can't wait to interview you again. And I have a story to tell you too. Who knows? Maybe you'll interview me on this one. It's an interesting one. But thank you.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much, Toni, for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. It was a very fun interview. And I'm going to say goodnight to the audience. I'll see you next time. And as always, I promise to have the most interesting guests that I can find on the planet. Come back again. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.